shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?
Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to have him take you by the hand and walk you into that promised land? Help me then in every tribulation. Do we call upon God when we have trials, when we have things pressing against us that we don't seem to think is fair or right, or things in this world that we find goes against our belief and against what we stand for? We find that we are troubled in many, many different ways. So we trust in Jesus' promises, or we should be trusting in his promises, that we may not lose faith. Sweet consolation offered to us in God's holy word. Do we turn to God's holy word? And do we call upon him then as we call upon him in times of prayer, in times of need? Or do we do it on our own, trying to think, I can handle this situation myself? Satan is cunning, and Satan is sharp. Satan is very smart, much smarter than each one of us, and much smarter than we will ever be. He knows how to take God's word and twist it even to make it for himself. When Jesus was tempted, Jesus said, thou shalt live by the word of God. You shall live because God says so. And Satan even used scripture and says, didn't scripture say that if you will throw yourself down from the pinnacle of this temple, you will not dash your foot against a stone, the angels will pick you up? And he was trying to tempt Christ to do and go against God the Father because he wanted to rule and control the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God, which is part of the triune God. Part of the triune God, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in that, he could not do it. But he wanted God to give credence to himself. Satan has done everything he can to win you and to win me into his camp. He wants us to look and to say, it's really not so bad. We can have it better here on earth. Let us not think about eternity, and let us not think of the glory that awaits us as we walk with Jesus Christ. And with this, as we look at our portion of scripture for today, found in Luke chapter 12, verses 41 to 48, this is only a portion of the scripture in which we can use, and it's taken out of context in a way, but we find Jesus talking to his disciples, and in talking to his disciples, he's talking to us. He's telling us the same thing he told Peter and his other disciples, those that were there when he started this course on parables, and in it he was talking to his disciples, but others were there to hear and to learn what Jesus said. So let us read from Luke 12, beginning at verse 41. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make over his whole household, ruler over his whole household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and to drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We can look at this portion of Scripture and we can understand what Peter was saying. Lord, you've been talking to us, but all these other people are around here listening. Are you talking to just us, the 12 disciples, or are you talking to everybody? Remember, Jesus says, I have come into the world to pay the penalty of your sin. I have been sent by God the Father into this world. I was born in Bethlehem. My birth was prophesied and was told where it would be 700 years before birth. My name was given, and that was some 700 years before I was born. Yet we find that people looked and they did not see. They tried to understand, and they did not understand because they were trying to do it man's way. They weren't looking at what God would do and how God would give them eternal salvation through this baby that was born in Bethlehem. How Satan tried to stop that from going forward by having all the babies 2 years old and younger killed of the male babies in the area of Bethlehem. How God took care of his own and how he brought him back after Herod died. And yet, because of Herod's brother being on the throne, they went to Nazareth. And there Jesus grew up. And when Nathanael was called, he says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So Nazareth was maybe a town. We don't know if it was of a place where poor people lived only, or a place in which they didn't want nothing to do with. We go back into Chronicles and we find that David loved the Lord. Yes, he did many things wrong, but his heart was set on pleasing God. His heart was set on letting God work through him. And when David wanted to build a house for God, he says, you know, I have my house. We have our houses. And I want to build a special place for God, for the tabernacle, and where we can put the ark in, the ark of the triumph, the ark in which has God's Ten Commandments. And he says, I'm going to build this house. And Nathan told him, Nathan was a prophet of that day, and Nathan says, do what pleases you. And so he was starting to plan it. That night, God told Nathan, you go to David and tell him, uh-uh, you aren't going to build that house. I'll let his son build it, but he can't build it because he had blood on his hands. He has blood all over written, and he has been a man of war. And so when Nathan came to David and told him that, David accepted it. Lord, you have your own way. I won't build the house, but can I make preparation for it? I know you want my son to build it. And Solomon is young, and Solomon does not know how to run a kingdom, and he does not know all these things. So I'll get the things ready. And so David did this. And as you read this portion of Chronicles, and I like the way it's written, that all of these things were brought in. People willingly gave of all that they had. They gave of their gold and their silver and their bronze and their iron and of their own selves, willing to work to make sure God's house was proper, was built the way it should be, and would be praised, and God would have a place in which he could rest the Ark of the Ten Commandments, and in it, God himself would reside. God resides in our hearts today. In our church, we built it for him. It's his house, not ours. Do we give him the glory all the time? It seems that we sometimes look to see what we can do for ourselves. We want to keep it nice for him. And we can praise, as David did, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." And then he goes on, he says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the majesty, the companionship, the compassion, the mercy, the power. Everything belongs to you. Because, Lord God, you created the heavens and the earth and everything in it." And then you take man and you made Adam. And you brought all these things before Adam. And what he named all the animals, that's the names they got. Have you ever thought the knowledge Adam had to have to name all of them? Would you have named the different zebras or the different raccoons or the different squirrels? To me, it's a gray squirrel or a black squirrel or a red squirrel. Some of them I like and some of them I don't. The ones you want, you don't want, and so forth. But Adam named them all. God's majesty and God's greatness was throughout all they were. And then Adam gave himself over to Satan. And David understood that. And David understood it's God's greatness and God's mercy, God's faithfulness in what God wants done that we have to live. We fast forward to Paul. And you know the story of Paul, how he was going to Damascus to kill people. And yet Christ shone a great light from heaven and he says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul says, "Lord, who's speaking?" And he says, "I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. But Lord, I haven't seen you. I'm just arresting these people." Jesus says, "They're mine. I died for their sins. I died for your sins, Paul," or Saul. "And I'm going to use you to show people that they must have faith in me. That their faith must be stronger than anything. And that their faith must stand even in trials and temptations, in trials and tribulation. That we, if we have to stand what we say alone, we still have Christ with us. We have Jesus living in our heart and in our life." Peter says, "Master, teacher, Did you write this parable or speak this parable only for me, for the disciples, or for everybody? We look and Jesus tells him, if you are faithful, you will be rewarded. If you are faithful, I will trust you with much. But remember, your faith comes because of me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, no woman, no child ever comes unto God the Father except through me. Yes, Peter, I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to everybody else. It's been said that this portion is supposed to be speaking to pastors, but we're all pastors, we're all priests, we're all having the children of God. If we claim Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, are you willing to stand up when someone ridicules you? Are you willing to stand alone? You have Christ with you, but you're standing alone because there's no other Christian there to help back you up. It tells us in Proverbs that the sinful man will make himself look terrible in the eyes of people when he degrades a Christian or a believer, if that believer doesn't start a big argument. We have to know when to be silent, when to speak, when to be strong, and when to stand and speak out. Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate says, do you know I have the right to let you go? Or I can crucify you. And Jesus says, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have any power at all. Can you imagine how it must have taken Pilate back? And Jesus says, the truth will make you free. And Peter, or Pilate, not wanting to acknowledge Christ as Lord, what is truth? Truth was standing before Pilate, and Pilate did not recognize it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's standing before us, and he is saying, I want you. I died for your sins. And if you take all your sins, past, present, and future, and each one of those sins, you write the name Jesus on it. Can you do that? That sin belongs to Jesus, not to you. If you keep it back from Christ, you're sinning. Because you're telling Jesus, you can have all my sins except these I want to keep. You know, to give an adage, maybe a poor one, if someone came to you, you had an old beater of a car and you had decked it out nice, and there's nothing wrong with decking it out nice, and it has lots of sentimental value. I can remember my first car, 1937, two-door Chevrolet sedan, straight stick. I think it had maybe, I don't know if it had mechanical brakes that time yet or if they had went to others. Passed everything except an oil can, because you had to keep dumping oil in. And I was so proud of it. My brother smashed it up for me. I says, my car. God says, I'll give you a supermobile. I'll give you a supercar that'll never break down. You give me your old one. Yeah, but Lord, that car means so much to me. And Christ says, if you want this new car, you give me your old one. If you want a new life, you give me your old sin. You give me your old sin and don't take it back. Yeah, but I just enjoy these parties. I enjoy this and I enjoy that. And Christ says, I died for your sin. And my name is on every sin that you do or have done. It belongs to me. I was made sin for you, that you would be made righteousness through me for God Almighty. We don't understand all that, do we? But we want to keep certain sins back because we want to go out and party, or we want to do this or do that. Or we think it's more important that we have a good portfolio, or whatever the case might be. God says, I am the Lord that God. Trust me. Have faith in me. And he doesn't say it's wrong to have a good portfolio or to have a good business or any of these. But do not let that take the place of having Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Do not take that sin away from Christ that he died for and tell him you want to keep it, because then you are sinning by keeping your sin and not giving it to him when he died for it. And he did it for you and for me. Faith stands strong. Paul says, even in faith, we have to remember that when Christ died for us, we didn't have any strength of ourselves. We would have kept living in sin. But God demonstrated his love to us that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And in it, as he died for us, he paid that penalty of sin. As we look at the portion of scripture for today, what does Jesus say? There was 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They all believed the bridegroom was coming. They were all waiting for the bridegroom. They didn't know what time he was coming. And when the call came out, the bridegroom is coming, right around the corner, they all got up, and 5 trimmed their lamps and made sure they were filled with oil that they could go with the bridegroom. And 5 had to go back and try and find something to help themselves. When they came back, the chamber doors of the wedding feast was closed. Jesus is telling us that the chamber doors will be closed if we keep delaying giving our heart and life to Christ, having Christ first in all that we think, say, or do. We read about the rich man that had much land and many crops, and he didn't know what to do. So he says, I will build bigger barns, and I will store all this stuff up. And God says, tonight I'm going to require your soul. Then who does all this stuff belong to? It's mine in the first place, God said, and I let you have it. I trusted you as a trustee or as a steward or as a servant, and I've let you have it all. But what did you use it for? Did you use it to glorify me or to glorify yourself? And we find that many will fall away, it tells us, when trials come. And when those trials come and they fall away, we find this is what Jesus says. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware. And he will cut that servant in two. And then he will appoint him his portion with unbelievers. And unbelievers will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unbelievers will have an eternal separation from God. Unbelievers will not be in heaven. And God says, only the just, those who have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord, will be there. What are we supposed to do? When we go through trials, do we call upon God, call upon Jesus to help us, or do we look to ourselves? Let us remember, a few weeks ago, we started our service with prayer. I think it's something that's real important. Pray. How many times do you pray? How many times have you prayed today that God would use you in some small way, either in the way you live, the way you speak, the things you do, that His glory would be seen through you? And most of us probably have to say, well, I had devotions this morning, and I prayed then. How about when you ran into trouble during the day? Oh, I fixed it. Did you? Was it something you could do? Or did you want Jesus to help you? You see, Christ says, if you are my follower and you do what you're supposed to do, I will make you ruler of many things. But don't try and build yourself up, because you are my servant. You are my steward. You're the one that I have given the right to use and do certain things. Use it to the glory of God. And use it in such a way that God's glory would be seen in all you think, say, or do. And you will find God will bless you over and over again, because He gave His only begotten Son to die for your sin, the past, present, and future. Remember, your sin don't belong to you, it belongs to Christ. And as it tells us in Corinthians, that God, Christ, was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God, or righteousness of Christ, through what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He died for our sin. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being with us. We thank You for helping us, and help us to call upon You, to praise You as David did, to have the faith as Paul has, and to have the faith and perseverance that the disciples had to stand for You. I pray You be with us as we leave this place. We will be faithful and true to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 600.